Hey, thank you for tuning in, everybody, to this week's episode. Very excited that you wanted to take the time out of your week to be able to listen to this. Before I get started into our guest, I just want to thank our presenting sponsor, Optimum Nutrition Athletics. We all know that protein is the key to muscle recovery, and best-selling 100% gold standard whey protein provides 24 grams of protein that mixes easily using just a glass and spoon. Gold standard 100% whey is made in their state-of-the-art facility. It's banned substance tested by Informed Choice. And with Optimum Nutrition Athletics program, you can get different products such as their Pro Gainer, which is their mass gainer, protein snacks such as the crisp bars, wafers, cake bites, and almonds. And oh my goodness, those crisp bars, ooh, are they so good. The vanilla marshmallow one is magnificent. Recently just had the salted toffee one, I believe is the flavor. That one is wonderful too as well. Big, big fan. And after dominating the sports and nutrition industry for over 30 years, newly created Optimum Nutrition Athletics brings that same trust and quality that knows how to put convenient options for protein in the hands of athletes who desire to become bigger, stronger, and better at their sport. We're talking about the gold standard here, guys. And Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics, his information is down in the show notes. You can quickly email him where he'll get back to you and being able to get the products and get you what you need for your athletes and for your facility. Highly suggest you reach out to him. These are absolutely wonderful products, guys. This is the gold standard. We've all been using it. It's an awesome product, awesome company. And Dave is a wonderful person. I can't thank him enough. And for Optimum Nutrition Athletics for being the sponsor of the podcast. So, guys, make sure you reach out down there. Again, they have easy protein snacks to get into your athletes. I know how tough that can be sometimes. We don't know what's going on outside of the weight room. But, hey, you know that you can get good quality protein to them inside of the weight room with those different options that they have with the crisp wafers and cake bites with Optimum Nutrition Athletics. So again, thank you, Dave Harvey and Optimum Nutrition Athletics, for being our sponsor. And now for our guest this week, it is Jim McGuire of Fitchburg State University and of Everyday Hybrid. This is an awesome episode, guys. Jim, this is a recurring guest. This is the second time being on. We do a year in review because it's been over a year since we've been with each other, kind of talking and you know, kind of learning from each other. And man, it was an awesome episode. I love this episode where we talk about his own training and then how that incorporates him with his athletes. So make sure you reach out to Coach McGuire, reach out to Dave Harvey off Nutrition Athletics, and everybody, stay strong. Hey guys, Strength Talking Shop podcast. Excited to have a reoccurring guest. Very thankful to have him back on here. Coach Jim McGuire of Fitchburg State University. How are you today, brother?
Hey, I'm doing great, Matt. Thanks for having me back.
I know we talked about this before the podcast rolled, but Coach McGuire here is a huge catalyst to all you listeners out there. I feel like his episode and a couple others were kind of the launching pad for this podcast to get to the amount of listeners that we're at today. So I'm just very grateful to have you back on here. But you know, it's been over a year since we talked with each other. I don't know, a few things have maybe happened. I know you're a Patriots fan. You know, Tom Brady left. I don't know how good that is. And then obviously an infectious disease happened. You know, you said before the podcast, lost a couple LBs yourself and started some stuff up. What's going on? What's happened?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's crazy to think, right? It was just over a year ago, and I think when we first talked, I had heard of coronavirus. Like there were maybe some bad jokes that were going around about it. You know, just aware of it and had no concept of how it was going to change, you know, everything we've done, everything we're used to. And, you know, that 13 months later or over a year later, we're still battling the same thing, and, you know, hopefully coming to the end of it, get back to some normalcy. But you know, it's been a strange year. Obviously, it's been, you know, my family and people I'm close to have come through it relatively unscathed, and we're doing okay. So, you know, obviously thoughts out to everybody that has been, you know, super negatively affected by it. Hopefully we're coming to the end of it.
Yeah, man, I really hope so. What have you kind of learned in that time where you had a lot of time off, right? You couldn't be with your athletes and everything like that. I know you started up something too as well. How How have you kind of adapted and things that you've learned within that time frame of, being at home and stuff like that?
Yeah, so it's, it was weird, right? Like it was almost like stages of grief, and it's not grief, but that's a comparable term, I guess, where like for a few weeks I was just really, really bummed out, right? To not be in the weight room, to not to have our seniors and our teams that got shut down, right at the start of the season, just really bummed out for them. Missing coaching, missing the weight room, but then you try to look at it on the flip side, like initially it was like, holy smokes, like I've eaten breakfast, lunch, and dinner with my family every day for 2 weeks. Like, this is awesome. This never happens, and then it turned into, holy smokes, I've eaten breakfast, lunch, and dinner with my family every day for 6 months. So, that was obviously a positive. I got to spend time here and my backyard looked like the 18th green at Augusta because I, just ran out of stuff to do. So all of my extra energy was there, and just tried to make the most of it. Like I said, it didn't. We were lucky; we didn't lose our jobs, we didn't miss a paycheck. So we were in a pretty good spot with that. So, couldn't see people, couldn't go out and do things. Obviously, that's, it stinks, but in the grand scheme of things, we came through it okay. So just trying to take advantage of the extra time together, and work-wise, it was trying to find a way to keep our kids engaged through, texts and emails, and we use Team Builder, and making sure there was programming available, and trying to figure out, who was where, and if they could get to a gym, what they had, trying to program for some people personally that were fortunate to have at home gyms, and just trying to find ways, stealing stuff from other coaches online, putting their remote workouts. I don't know if I could progress a goblet squat with a loaded up backpack any more than I had to, over the past year, but just find ways to stay creative and keep them engaged. So it was a crazy year. It was, in a lot of ways, I think I became better through it. Like I kind of locked in my own training using all of this extra energy that I had from not coaching. I ended up going on this weird training streak where I trained every day for 202 consecutive days. Just trying to find ways to use the time and control the things that you can control. And try to get a little bit better at something through it. So, yeah, I don't know. Wouldn't want to do it again, though. I can say that.
I can 100% agree with you that man, and the 202 days is, I mean, that's impressive, man. I had Josh Bonatol on here, and he does what's called the Daily Deposit every single day. He'll put up on I think on Instagram, and he's at like, I don't know, 400 days or something like that. And his whole mindset behind it was, show up. Like, you could show up every single day, and I've adapted to it myself. I think I'm on like 80. 84. This will be day 84. I got bench press later tonight. So, I think there's a discipline behind that, just being able to stay disciplined in your own, especially as a coach, like staying disciplined in your own training, like that's going to seep into, I'm sure like when your athletes saw you again, when you came back in the weight room, they're like, Coach McGuire looking a little swole, a little bit different than last time we saw him,
Little leaner. Yeah, that's what it was for sure. And I think it made me a little bit less high maintenance as a lifter. I don't need to put on my knee sleeves and my shoes, and it locked in what I was doing more. You go for 200 days or 100 days, like not every day is going to be heavy, right? You have to understand, and you do, but it locks you in a little bit more. And I used to think, like, if I'm going to train, I need an hour because I need to warm up for 15 minutes. I got to get this in. I got to get, now it's like, some of those 202 days were 20 minutes of 10 swings and 10 push-ups, as many rounds as you can get in, just kind of check the box, like daily deposit. I think that's a great way to look at it. But it was me and my buddy in my garage a little bit. And, I was like, I think I'm going to go for 100 days. And then we got to 100, And there's like lulls, you know, like you feel great. And then you're like, holy smokes, I just got to get through this. And I can remember thinking around 70 or 80 days, you know, as soon as I get to 100, I'm done. I am taking a couple days off, I'm done. And then I got to 100, which happened to be election day, which was, you know, it makes no difference, but it was just, I just told everybody how important of a day it was. And they're like, yeah, election day. No, it's 100 straight days of training. You know, let's focus on what's important. You know, I got to 100 and then just whatever, let's keep going. And day 200 timed up with right when we were back to a relatively full normal schedule in the weight room. So it was time to take it off, take a couple of days off. So now I'm, you know, 6 days a week. And I don't think I could have got to 100 or 200 if it was a full normal schedule in the weight room. So, you know, for whatever it's worth, it lined up in that way.
Did you find yourself being a little bit more disciplined in, say, like nutrition, and other aspects of your life? Because that's what I've found within these first 80 something days is like I make a little bit better decisions with what I eat. I'm more mindful of the time that I've spent with my wife and son too as well. Have you kind of found that?
Yeah, for sure. There were some times in the streak where, you know, my son at the time, he was right around one or a little less than one, so still wasn't sleeping. So I'd take him out to the garage and set up the pack and play at like 5:30. You know, or he's out there with me, so that was cool. But definitely, when you're doing it every day, and kind of the cumulative effects, like makes you think about everything that you're putting in your body, food, alcohol, beer. Like, you know, I don't drink a lot, but it would be, you know, Saturday night where I'd normally have a beer or two, just hanging out, relaxing with my wife. You know, maybe now I'm not because I got to get up tomorrow and, you know, get this daily deposit. So, you know, it's just have a little decaf coffee instead of the beer, have a seltzer instead of the beer. So, yeah, locks you in all kinds of ways because you can't get through it. It's sleep, you know, again, I got two little kids who, you know, we're pretty fortunate they sleep well. You know, but it was the routine was almost the best part of it. Like, didn't have we were working from home for a lot of it, you know, so it wasn't like I was up early to get into work. It was just up at the same time every day, bed at the same time every day, no matter what else was going on. So the routine part of it was almost, I think, the more beneficial.
Yeah, quick shout out to Athletic Brewing. If you ever want to try it, man, it's non-alcoholic craft beer. So you do not feel guilty whatsoever trying it. It's really good, man.
Yeah, it keeps popping up actually on my Instagram, so they must be listening. But I'll have to check it out.
It's pretty good, man. I tried it here recently, because like I said, we got goals. We want to achieve things, but sometimes, you know, you want to enjoy, you know, things that you have in the past. And that's something for me that I found that I'm like, okay, I can keep this little thing in my life, but
Sure.
it's not the same thing. You know what I mean? But you talked about the routine. I think that's one thing that a lot of people, it's hard. I mean, I've been dealing it with it since, you know, our son, he's 4 months old, like finding a new routine and everything, man, it's tough to get into a routine. So was it hard? You talked about a little bit of the, you know, you were really sad when you guys got shut down initially. Was it hard switching into the new routine and then the routine of going back into the weight room?
No, the new routine. So I had a couple guys right when we got shut down. I had a couple guys because I have a pretty decent setup in my garage, you know, some friends, and we had an intern for like 2 weeks right after we got shut down. You know, they were coming out to train in the morning, and you know, we had to get it done in the morning so I could be, you know, my kids weren't going to daycare anymore. Me and my wife were both working from home, so that was it. So that part was pretty easy, and then, you know, after about 2 weeks, we're like, you know, I don't really know what's going on with this thing. Maybe we should, you know, stay apart from each other for a little bit and we'll get this started back up for the summer or whatever when it wraps up. Like, we thought it was going to be over in a few months. But, you know, at that point, it was like I was lifting normally, like I would Monday through Friday, and then sleeping in on the weekends, whatever, you know, like you would, you know, we get up early in the morning to go coach in a normal year, and then you just kind of crash on Saturday morning and get up when you get up. But without that extra energy out through the week with coaching, I was finding like Saturday and Sunday morning, we sleep till 6:30, 7 when the kids get up. And by 10 o'clock, I was like, I got to do something. I got to do something, So that's really what drove it. Like I started getting up. I added a lift on Saturday. Sunday, I would do like little house projects just to fill the time and get up early and kind of get some energy out. But then it just, towards the middle of last summer is when it kind of went to the train every day. And once I got into that, it was really easy. And even now still, I found that the going to bed at the same time every night and waking up at the same time, is really beneficial for me. And I know there's, I think, research, a ton of research on sleep that would back that up. So even like we don't coach on Saturday and Sunday. I run on Sunday mornings, but I don't lift on Saturday, but I'm still up at the same time, because there's no fluctuation, right? It makes the rest of the week easier. I think I'm more, even though I may get a little less sleep than I could, I think I'm better functionally when the routine is exactly the same. So it's been easy to keep it. It's been way easier than coming back after a normal summer or a normal winter break where, you sleep till 6:37 every day and then you got to get up at 4:30 to get there for the team. So yeah, that part's been easy. I'm gonna keep that rolling.
Isn't it crazy how sleep, how much that affects your day-to-day function?
It
Like
is.
you'll go to sleep and like you said, at the same time, get up at the same time, and you'll feel leaner. I will genuinely see a difference in my body, no matter what I like, if I stay on the right regimen, right? Like
Yeah.
I will look leaner. Like my body, my mood is just so much better, the clarity, like I were both sipping on some coffee this morning. Like I don't necessarily need that coffee first thing in the morning if I get my full night's sleep that I'm supposed
Yeah.
to. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I can remember being groggy, coming off the weekend on a Monday morning, sleeping in both days. And now it's just like, you're a little groggy for a second part of waking up. By the time I'm down the stairs, I feel great. And the coffee, like for me, it's just part of the routine, I think. I think,
Yeah.
I could go without it kind of functionally if I didn't enjoy the just kind of act of drinking it so much is almost where I'm at with that,
No, I'm with you. It's for me, it's kind of the taste, man. I love just been having that warm cup of coffee. There's something about a nice cold cup of coffee though, when it's a little bit cooler outside versus when it starts to kind of warm up in the summertime. For me, I love that in the winter and the springtime when it's like, that 40 degrees or whatever, and you're like, all right, this is coffee time right here.
No doubt. And we're getting to that point out here where, I can start taking the coffee onto the patio in the morning, which is,
Yeah.
that's the best. That's my favorite. It's 50 degrees when you wake up in the morning, hoodie on, coffee, sitting outside. Doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, man, I love it. One thing that I saw that you've been putting up a lot on your social media sites is, you're still relatively lifting very heavy, but you're doing a lot of cardiovascular running as well too, long distance running. Can you kind of dive into that a little bit? Because for me, it's fascinating because I took a big break from just lifting in general and started running, and I saw a big change in my body. And in a good way, but in a negative way, in the fact of I stopped lifting. So like I was weak as could be, right? So can you talk about your transition to like adding in that cardiovascular stuff with still getting after it in the weight room?
So again, the pandemic, I think, was the biggest driver of that. I talk about all this, the extra energy that I had, and I got to do something, man. So I'm gonna start running. Nothing crazy. 2 miles, couple days a week. 3 miles, couple days a week. Make sure it doesn't affect my lifting or whatever the social media dogmas are about running and lifting. And then as I got in more into it, I was like, this is kind of fun. I feel a little bit better. My lifts are staying the same. I don't feel really any negative effects to this. And I work really closely with Dr. Jeff Godin, who is a big endurance, big in the endurance world, ultra running, trail running. And he kind of got me turned on to trail running, which, if you're a strength athlete or a strength coach and you want to get into running, like trail running is where it's at, I think, because it's different. Brain is different. I think strength can play a really important role in trail running. So I'm up to now, I'm probably 20 to 25 pounds down from where I was about this time last year, and much leaner. Lifts, like my lifts are a little bit lower. I wouldn't necessarily say that that's the running didn't cause that. You know what I mean? It's the fact that I have backed off the heavy, high volume lifting to fit in because there's only so much room in the bucket. But still staying strong, still running on the trails 25 to 30 miles a week. Usually Dr. Godin has me signed up for a 17K trail run in Connecticut with just under 2,000 feet of elevation coming up. I think it's April 18th. So we're on the home stretch and prep for that, feeling pretty good about it. But this will be like, I've done a couple charity 5Ks on the road, but nothing like this. And I was thinking, all right, I'll do it, just kind of finish, enjoy the experience, treat it like training. And now, like, I'm in a pretty good spot with the trail running, so I'm gonna go and just see, finish as fast as I can. But yeah, I think the biggest thing for me, we talked about the posts and all that, and I throw up like Jim Wendler's hashtag, "You're being lied to about running making you weak." Like, I'm not trying to start a huge controversy here, but like, I can still deadlift 500 pounds. I weigh 195, so that's over 2.5 times body weight, which is a relatively accepted measure for having a pretty good deadlift, right? I can run a 5K in zone two in a pretty good time. I can run a pretty fast 5K. I can run the trail. So, I don't know. I think that the if I'm training the 60 meters guys for the Olympics, like, we're probably not running 10 miles on the trails. But if we're talking about, our athletes at Fitchburg, general population people, people in my age group, the 30 to 40 group with young kids who just want to be healthier and live longer, I think there is a blend of it in there. You can do both, and still at a relatively high level. And I think it's gonna just improve your longevity, right? Like we talked before we were recording, like I've been the 225 pound kind of strong, kind of fat guy, like, got a 500 pound deadlift that literally no one else cares about except for me. And is that worth like the extra body fat that you're carrying around to move it? Probably not, So that kind of drove me to the other Instagram thing that I started, Everyday Hybrid, which was just to get just kind of everyday people, like targeting again my age group, young parents, young kids, just trying to get people to understand training, try to put good training information out there. It was sparked in one way by my kind of transition in training, and two, conversations I've had with other guys, who kids are, friends or whatever. You can't be friends with a kid when you're 3 years old, but in the neighborhood or at school or whatever. And like, if you're 35 years old, you shouldn't be getting hurt to the point that you can't do anything from just picking up a grocery bag, right? And someone else I had a conversation with, again, in my age bracket, like, I want to start working out, but I don't want to get too big. Don't worry, man, like, you're not. You're gonna work nowhere near hard enough to get too big. Don't worry about it. And like, I don't mean to be a jerk when I say that, but like, I know they're thinking about the guy on the cover of Muscle and Fitness, right? Like, but what they don't understand is probably the chemistry that's involved with that. And that person gives up their entire existence to look like that, right? Like, a couple hour long lift sessions or run sessions a week aren't gonna make you look too muscular or too big, right? They're going to help you live a longer, healthier life. Like, I spent basically all of my 20s trying to get too big, and it never happened. So you don't have to worry about it. Like, it's not gonna, so trying to just make good training information available. I picked up a few remote clients, you know, just a little bit of side income and that thing. But you're really just trying to get some good info out there and, you know, educate people that it's not this super complicated, intimidating thing. You know, you lift a little bit, run a little bit, try to do a little bit more every week. You know, and that was kind of it. I've slacked on it the past month, 6 weeks. Just, you know, I don't have enough RAM in my brain to be able to be full go with the way our schedule is at work right now and keep up with that. So hoping as the semester winds down and we get into the summer, I'll be able to get back to some content there. But got a pretty good response from it, so it was fun. I don't know.
For me personally, I really enjoyed it because I love the infographics on just like little things that you know about as like somebody that lifts, but it's like maybe a little small quick reminder. And I
Yeah.
and for like even the for the general population, that's it. I mean, I get it all the time, and I know you do too. You get questions about like you said, like I want to get fit, but I don't want to get too big. Or you hear females a lot like I want to look good, but I don't want to look bulky and stuff like
Right.
that, right?
Yeah.
And so like I think it's so valuable, even if you know you're not training people per se, like get good information out there so people can pick that up, even if they're not an athlete or anything like that. Because yeah, there's so many 30, 40-year-old men and women that are just like they haven't been very active for a long time, or maybe they were active in in a different way, and they're like, oh, I can run like 10 miles a week. Like for me, that was kind of like an aha moment when you're talking about Wendler. Like I read a few of his, he had an article come out where it was like, how to stay in shape or something like
Yeah.
that. And it's like,
Yep.
well, you can stay in, you can never get out of shape. That way you're still in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree. And, you know, he's a guy like you look at him, and if he's saying that running a few miles a week isn't going to hurt you, then like, who am I to say that you shouldn't do it? You know, and
Right.
I don't know. Just I think people are way more apt if they are going to exercise to run, which obviously I think is great, but I think, you know, obviously they need to get in the weight room too, and the benefits of strength beyond, like, you're not going to look bulky, you're not going to get too big. Like, being strong is being healthy, you know, and just trying to put that out there. And then the other thing that I've really discovered with the running is, you know, in times in the past where I would go through the phases of running, it would, like, now I look forward to it because I've discovered like this, the zone two easy aerobic zone. And, you know, again, thanks to Dr. Godin for that. And Leo Morton, who is a friend of mine who owns a gym out here in Hudson called ATC Center. Just, you know, the zone two, I think people get caught up, you know, when they run, it has to go, you have to go out and go as far as you can, as hard as you can every time. Right. And that is, you know, it leads to running kind of sucking, right? Because that's hard and you don't necessarily want to do that every time. And you can't recover from it. It's the same thing. Like, you're not going to 90% for max reps every time you go in the gym. You know, so those two guys really got me kind of locked into this zone two and understanding, you know, even like these elite endurance athletes are doing, you know, zone two easy work 80% of the time. You know, and that's the thing that has really got me, and I think made a huge difference in my training. Where, if I'm running 10 times in 2 weeks, 8 or 9 of them are in that easy range, and then I'll do one that's hard intervals or a high lactate threshold run. But just trying to, and I think that's beneficial for performance and, you know, health and longevity. So, again, just trying to get the some good information out there, and, you know, I don't know. Reaching a small group, I think if I, you know, was more flashy and stuff like that's just not my style, but I think it would get it out there more. But, you know, reaching our little group, so I think it's helping some people.
Well, what I find to be so beneficial behind it is you get one person, they lead to another person,
Right.
which, we're both parents. It could trickle down into the kids, right? So changes are made. That's generational change, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing I think people don't understand is like you do have a voice, whether you have 100 followers on Instagram or 100 followers on Twitter, Like you might be able to reach that one person that changes their life, right? Like I saw recently a video of DDP yoga. Have you ever heard of that before? Like Diamond Dallas Page. But he put out a page, or he was talking about a story where like they weren't, I mean, they had a lot of people, I think, still doing it, but like they were really didn't have a lot of testimonials. And like this one guy came and like he didn't even know this person, right? But it completely changed his entire life. And then that one video has now changed so many people's lives. So like there's always somebody out there looking for good information. Like, why not try and help as many people as we possibly can for
No
that
doubt.
long run, right?
Yeah, I'm with you. And you're right. Like everybody, there's somebody everybody's reaching. You know, for me, the two most important people are downstairs right now. And it's like I come in from like I ran this morning, come in all sweaty. My daughter is 3 and a half, you know, and letting her know, making sure she knows I was out exercising and the importance of it. And she likes to, you know, she'll grab, we got like these little barbells, she'll grab them and say she's doing squats. And I'll come home. Did you go to the mountain? Did you go run the mountain? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. So,
Cool.
you know, hope to get her, take her on a little hike this summer a few times. Now I think she's close to old enough. If not, you know, we'll figure it out.
I love it, man. I like I said, I could talk about this all day, but it's so important to take care of your health. And especially, back when I was coaching, it was hard because you're spending so much time on the floor that you're on your training kind of takes a back seat to it. And that's an understanding, right? But you need to be able to take that time to help yourself. And I love the fact that you talked about, this pandemic sucked. It sucked for a lot of people. It was I mean, it's very tragic, right? But there are opportunities where you could take to be able to better yourself and help others if you had that opportunity during that time. So I'd love to hear that you did that because I'm sure you're seeing it kind of bleed over into now that you guys have come back into the weight room. I'm sure like what you did and that time has bled over into, better sessions with the athletes. Not to say they were bad beforehand, but I don't know. Could you kind of dive into that a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's like just my whole perspective on everything has kind of changed. You know, I talked about the shift from trying to be as big and strong as I can to just kind of the longevity and health thing of it now. And now, you know, kind of an offshoot of that, more towards the job, is just, you know, perspective of like, every day that we're in here, we're like just super lucky to be in here. You know what I mean? And I've tried to be way more, you know, relaxed isn't the right word, but like way more rational, relaxed. I don't know. Trying not to let the little things, like a kid's 5 minutes late, and you've got car trouble, you can't. All right, like no big deal. We're here. We're doing it, right? So, just trying to be a little bit more understanding in that way. And, you know, everybody, we got to wear masks when we lift, and everybody's upset about that. And, you know, we can't, our groups are small, and we can't let so many people in, and we can only train this many teams at a time. But guys, you know what the other option is, right? We all just go home and sit there and do nothing for another year. So I think just having a perspective of, you know, what is really important. And then again, just always like we can't worry about if the state says we have to wear masks or the state says our capacity can only be like, let's just do a great job in these, you know, in these parameters that we have. So yeah, it's that. I think it's the mental part of it almost, just, you know, really not getting worked up about the little things.
Yeah, that's a great point that you said there. Not worrying about the little things. It's kind of like when it did hit, like, I'm thankful, like, we had a nice home gym. I know you said you had something in your garage. Like, some people weren't able to have that, right? They were lucky to maybe have resistance bands in their house. So it's like you kind of work with the constraints that you have and just understand, like, I'm just going to get a little bit better today with what I have instead of worrying about what you don't have. And not worrying so much about, because in the grand scheme of things, there's a lot bigger things going on than that little thing that you're worried about right now that you could soak up so much energy. Like, what is that analogy they say? Like, there's so many seconds in a day, And if you take away 10 seconds of like negativity, like you could still have all that time that you could be working on positivity stuff. You know what I mean? So
Right.
being able to have that perspective is really tough, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I felt like I think everything that I've kind of talked about, like the running, the routine, the perspective, like it's all it's all being interrelated and really just kind of changed my whole outlook and approach to everything and just trying to relay that to our staff and I don't know, I try to follow good, I think we talked before we were live about my little social media hiatus, and since I've come back, just cleaning up kind of the garbage that's on there, making sure that what I'm seeing is people who are in line with the same things, and just again, control what you can control. So yeah, that was it. And then I think it was almost beneficial for our training with our teams, to an extent, like we just kind of, since we got back, we approached it where we just kind of assumed no one had any access or any ability to do anything.
Yeah.
We just took a real step back and we started really slowly, and it was important for the people that couldn't train at all to get them back up. And then even for the kid, if we have kids that have a home gym, or we're living in a place where they could get into a gym for the whole time, it was just a little bit of a change in stimulus for them. So trying to just, we can't control the circumstances, right? So we're just going to do the best job that we can with what we got, and that's it. I think if you can shift your perspective to that, you'll be way more relaxed, and things will be way easier. So
Just let it slide off your shoulder, man. That's
that's it.
what I would say.
That is it. And like I still get upset about things, and like you're if you don't get upset about different things that happens, like you're a sociopath. It's just how do you deal with it, and I think that is the bigger measure of where you're at.
It's like, something bad could happen. How are you going to respond to it? You can respond. There's a couple different ways you can go about it, and one could be you're not always going to make the right decision. We never make the right decision. We're human, right? We make bad decisions all the time. But if you can consciously think about the outcome, a lot better things will come out of that decision, in my opinion.
No question.
Yeah. So as we wind down here, how has the ramp up been getting the athletes back into the weight room? How long have you had them back? And then what did the ramp up look like? I know you talked about just a minute ago, like treating them as if they didn't have anything, but what have your kind of plan of attack been?
Yeah, so it a little bit of a unique setup for us where basically we had our spring teams for 4 weeks, and now with the capacity restrictions and the size of our room, where we kind of trained our spring teams in person, and then we were providing remote programming for our other teams, and now spring teams are kind of in season, so we're bringing the other teams back. But we had 4 weeks to get them ready to start practice for their spring season, which is going to kick off here next week. We 2 or 3 days a week with all of those teams, we would do the first day was, we just kind of called it a work capacity day, where we would hit 7 different kind of low threshold movements. So goblet squat, inverted row, push up, body weight step up, face pull, some sort of ab, and a hamstring, like we have the Sorenex rollers, so we would do leg curls on those. And we would just we started at 15 seconds of work, 45 seconds of rest with all of those things, and over the 4 weeks progressed it up to 4 or 5 rounds through that, to a 20-40 or a 30-30. So just trying to build some, we have a great setup, but the way it is, we can't run everybody, so we tried to build some work capacity that way. And then we did like a couple basic strength days, just 3x5, building up to 5x5, let the players dictate the load. And it was, low threshold exercises, we call them, or low barrier of entry. So we're goblet squatting, we're inverted rowing, face pulls, push-ups, like I said, and progressing that way. And I thought it was that the 1545, like I thought it was going to be pretty easy. It crushed some of our kids, and like understandable. You can't. I had conversations with some people like, are you going to test them? Are you going to max test them? Are you going to conditioning test them? Like, no. We trained outside in the fall for like 6 weeks, and besides that, I haven't seen them in a year. So I'm going to throw them under a front squat and one rep maximum and find out how strong they're not. Or we're going to run a conditioning test just to find out how out of shape they are. So there was no testing. There was none of that. We treated, basically like they were all brand new freshmen coming from the summer in our program and built it up like that. And, it's the same thing we try to tell our coaches. You start practice after 6 or 8 months off, you can go 0 to 100 and end up with half your roster hurt, or you can build it up really slowly and over 4 weeks end up with more quality practice time. And I think a lot of talk last summer was about the volume of on-field work and practice and, starting at 50% and adding 15% every week. So we tried to, do that in the weight room where we started at our 3 rounds of 15:45, cut it down to 3 rounds of 20:40, and then we were 3 rounds of 30:30, or we were 4 of 20:40. And, they were feeling it, but I think we were in a much better place after a month than we were when we got back, and a much better place than we would have been. If we were like using year old numbers to try to one rep max or 3 rep max or run a conditioning test. Like, our job is to get them ready for practice, not to see how in shape they are after a pandemic, so.
You hit on something that I think is very important, as you said, quality over quantity. Do you find that less is more? Like the less you do, the more benefit you get out of things?
So in general, I would say yes. Especially, being a smaller Division III school, we don't the majority of our kids come in with not a ton of organized training experience, and I think it's pretty well established, like the less trained you are, the less that you need. So that's kind of the approach we take, and then we add more as they kind of adapt and show that they can handle more. But in general, like, yeah, I think minimum effective dose is the phrase that everybody's using now, and that's what we're trying to do, right? Like, no one's there. They're there to get their education and play their sport, and the weight room is just a tool in that. So, we want them to spend as little amount of time in the weight room as possible while still, producing positive results.
Right. And then let's talk about the non-athlete side of that. I've talked to people before and they're like, how do I start this? Or I'm starting this training program, and you look at it and it's a 4x10 squat, 4x10 deadlift, 4x10 RDL, 4x10 deficit deadlift. And you're like, you're going to be in a wheelchair in about 2 weeks if you do that program.
So athlete, non-athlete, like our introductory program, depending on the exercise, is never going to have more than 3 to 5 reps. You know what I mean? Like, and we have some new GAs that started, and we have our intro program where we're 3 or 4 or 5 sets of goblet squat, 3 to 5 reps. And you're like, well, wouldn't they get better faster or whatever if we did 10? Well, no. They're going to do a set of 10 goblet squat for a brand new lifter or a lifter with 2 or 3 weeks of experience. Like, that's going to be 5 good reps and then 5 really crappy reps, right? So let's get rid of the 5 really crappy reps and just do 5 really good ones, so that like all of our intro programs, with the exception of like some, low threshold, like shoulders or direct arm work, maybe some inverted rowing, everything, RDLs, squats, split squats, all of that stuff is 3 to 5 reps for us. Let's make them really good. We'll add as we go. But even with our more advanced populations, it's, if we want to get 24 or 30 reps, I'm way more apt to do 8x3 or 10x3 instead of instead of 3x8 or 3x10. I just think the quality of rep is so important, for general population or, kind of novice athletes, versus just crushing them with volume, per set, if that makes sense.
No, that makes sense, because most of the time, if you get that set of 10, three are going to look good, like you said, and then you're going to teach seven bad motor patterns. So they just technically did seven, they did way more bad reps than they did good reps. And then you're going to have to teach that all over again later down the road, or they're going to just be doing bad reps their entire life and they're going to get hurt over the long term. It might not be happening when you deal with them, but it could be when they're 40, 30 years old, right?
Yeah, bad reps do nothing for anybody except drive the coach crazy.
Yeah, I can't agree with you more, man. But like I said, as we wind down here, I want to go and ask our closing question here. What's
Sure.
one thing that you're grateful for?
My family, my kids, my wife.
I think it's important, man. Gotta have that gratitude every single day.
No
Just as
doubt.
important as the daily deposit of dropping in the workout. It's like, what are you grateful for? Like, if you can ask that question every day, good things will happen.
Yeah, that's it. And I guess in a training or X's and O's, it would be the discovery of endurance training and the fact that you can still be strong and run.
Ooh, man, ruffling some feathers already to end it. Well, Coach McGuire, I'm so thankful to have you on the podcast again. I'm just happy to be able to connect with you, and I can always talk with you and to learn from you. And like I said, you are a huge launching pad for this podcast, and I can't thank you enough. And if people want to reach out to you, social media, email, however they can do that, how can they reach out to you?
Yeah, so Instagram is the social that I'm most active on. My kind of professional coaching one is Coach McGuire Strength. And then let me look here for the side business one is Everyday Hybrid Strength. So those are the two that I'm most active on. I got locked out of my Twitter after I went on my social media hiatus. I got locked out of Twitter, and the process for changing the password there is beyond my capability. So I have not been back on Twitter in about almost a year. So if anybody can help me out with that would be great. But yeah,
Well,
that's
Coach,
where.
I appreciate you being on, man. Everybody, follow the hybrid, man. I love the hybrid stuff. Like I said, it's just good information for like maybe something. There's stuff on there like, oh man, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And I look into it, and I'm like, oh man, I need to kind of bring me back to it, So I
Yep.
appreciate it.
You got it. Appreciate you having me back.
Absolutely. Well, hey, everybody, make sure you reach out to Coach McGuire and stay strong. Look at that. You made it all the way to the end of the episode. Well, that an awesome episode. So thank you so much for our sponsor, Optimum Nutrition Athletics. Make sure you guys reach out to Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics on how you can get that into your facility. Again, his information is down in the show notes. Thank you to our guests this week. Thank you to everybody that supports the podcast. Make sure you give it that 5 stars on Apple Podcast or wherever you get your podcast at. And everybody, stay strong.